Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman. I'm here with Timmy Horton. Of course, I'm loving where I am because this is just an amazing place. And, you know, I'm from the Ozarks, but I've come out here more in this Tennessee River Valley area. And all of a sudden, here's Timmy Horton. He's sitting in Willow Oak Lodge, and it is amazing. Tell us about this, Timmy.
Oh, man. Brad, great to see you again. We've done so much in the past. But, yeah, we're here at Willow Oak Lodge. This is a property that Kim and I, my wife, we developed about, or started putting plans together about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's a high fence preserve with really large whitetail deer, a lot of turkey. We have a 22-acre lake, so a lot of bass fishing as well, but we do a lot more than that. We do a lot of corporate events. We had a big insurance company in last night. They had a big corporate meeting, and got another group coming in this coming weekend. So just a lot going on with weddings, corporate events, and things like that. So just kind of a fun place to come and wonderful view overlooking the valley here, so it's pretty cool.
And a lot of structures here on the place, so it's not just the lodge. You have other structures.
Correct. We have a barn, and it's a cool barn. It has six bedrooms, six baths in it, and two or three other private cabins. And the lodge houses five people, so we can sleep up to around 30 people here. So if folks want to come in and have a big corporate event and tour the wildlife, it's always fun to get out late in the evening and ride on the tracker off-road and look at all the big deer. It's pretty cool. So
that's right. And so it's called Timmy's Barn. Is that what it's called?
Tim's Barn. And that wasn't my call. That was Kim's. It's funny. Like, we had that barn had been there forever, and I'm like, let's gut this thing and put some bedrooms in it, make it cool. And she's like, no, I don't think people want to stay in a barn. And it turned out really, really neat. The inside of it's really cool.
So I have to laugh. Most people get kicked out of their house into the garage or in the barn when they fish too much, yet you decide to make it really nice. Yeah. So
it's cool. Just got some neat touches in there. There's some old barn wood that was from a barn that was built here in 1918. So we tore some of the barn wood down, and it had already collapsed, but it had a real neat look to that old wood. And so a lot of that is throughout the barn. It's really cool.
And not only because he's busy enough with this, you also have a lure company, don't you? What's the name of that?
Profound Outdoors. We make Azuma crankbaits, clone soft plastics, and then Swampers jigs and spinnerbaits. So have a lot of fun with it. I think we're going on 5 or 6 years now, and the Z-Boss crankbaits is really our kind of strong suit, and that's where we really do well.
Ledge fishing, Tennessee River.
From Kentucky Lake all the way up to Chickamauga and Watts Bar and all of it. So,
yeah, pretty amazing. And then, of course, you have Major League Fishing, too, in case you had any free time at all. Why not just go fishing?
Yeah, and the television show. We do 13 episodes a year, and a lot of content for social media, which is becoming bigger, a forefront as far as getting media out. Podcasts like what we're doing here with you, still working a lot with the media. And, but, you know, I think really just reaching the fans in different ways, and they're really, you know, the backbone of our industry, as you know. Regardless, we're trying to teach them to have more fun out on the water and educate them about places to go and enjoy a good time. So just trying to reach the fans as much as we can.
Right. That takes us into the reason why we're here. We're actually just checking out different places on the TVA, and this happens to have a Wilson Dam. And so I had asked you earlier that you'd always lived here, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've lived in the Tennessee Valley my entire life, and we're actually in the Tennessee Valley watershed even here where we are. So the Bear Creek Lakes are not far from here. That's a TVA-run property as well, the BCBA Lakes. So it's always been home. This valley is just incredible. The resource that we have of that river, of the Tennessee River, you know, that's the furthest naturally that smallmouth bass live. You know, they've been stocked in other places.
Right.
And they really get big here on Wilson Lake and Pickwick Lake and all of it. So it's really a neat deal.
Well, we'll get to those big smallmouth here in a second. Right. We can get some GPS locations for the people. So if you stay tuned
at the
very end, you know, once we were at a place and we told people we were going to tell them the location where we were on Kentucky Lake, and we were at Paris Landing. We were right there at the ramp.
Right.
And so we put the location that was the release spot for the tournament. Yes, there was lots of fish.
Guaranteed.
Always. Not good for tournament anglers, but great for everyone else to go fish.
To go have a good time. That marina at Paris is always loaded. It sure is.
So tell us about the river itself. yourself, if someone was to come and visit, what could they expect? Can they come, and of course we're going to ask, can they come stay here and then still run up to, say, like Muscle Shoals? And
tell us
about that.
We're 25 minutes away, and we have a lot of people stay here, and guides, if they want a guide trip on the river, guides actually come here and pick them up and drop them back off, so that works really well. And Pickwick and Wilson are really, really neat as far as, in my opinion, having the best smallmouth of the entire Tennessee River. And reason being, you know, the name Muscle Shoals, before the dams were built, was a really hard area to get through for navigation because of the shoals. So that shallower water, when that water is being released, creates more current. Therefore, that's what the smallmouth wants. And it just really, really creates a neat deal. But, yeah, they're welcome to we have people come here all the time. We have tournament anglers stay here that have tournaments on the river as well.
Uh-huh. So fishing the river, break it into four seasons.
Into
fishing Pickwick and Wilson.
I guess I'll start in the wintertime, which you really start hitting about early November all the way through, say, late February. And that's a time when the water's too cold for the largemouth to really fight the current. Their metabolism gets too low, so they're going to be just outside the current in the mouths of the pockets and the bays and things like that. And then when you get into March, you really get into the pre-spawn. That's when you really get the great jerkbait fishing on Wilson Lake, Pickwick Lake, unless the floodgates are on, and then those gravel bars can be phenomenal for smallmouth as well. And then you get into the spawn. Our spawn here usually starts around the end of March, first of April, and run through the month of April. And then you get into the post-spawn, and I always call that shad spawn season. That's when our shad spawn is happening. The first of May is just phenomenal. Great top water action all day long. And then the fish really start getting out on the ledges. I know I'm kind of breaking it down into more than four seasons, but they really get out on the ledges the end of May. And they'll stay there until that wintertime deal starts happening in late October, early November.
So a lot of tournaments are held here, high school tournaments, up college tournaments, all those running through here. They all want to know about ledge fishing. Is the ledge and ledge fishing.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about ledge fishing, like, because I know you're good at it.
I think probably the biggest tip, and these young anglers, the high school and college anglers, so good with electronics now, it's amazing. But I think probably the biggest thing to know on the Tennessee River is anywhere that current hits the face of a ledge. So if that ledge turns like this and the water flow is going over it, anywhere it hits the face, those are going to be some of the best areas on the river.
Uh-huh. So how do you find these ledges? What are they productive for a year and then not productive, or does it change?
For the most part, they stay consistent. Now, what will change is the mussel shells. So shell beds will really get on a certain ledge. You know, they move, shells move around just like fish can. You know, a mussel shell actually has a foot, and if you remember from all of us that study in embology, and they can drag themselves around and move around with the current flow and everything. So so that's something that changes and creates areas that maybe weren't as good the year before, and then they're just incredible the next year. But they're still going to get on current flows. They're still going to get on hard bottoms. There are just some years it may be better than others.
And also the time of the year too, right? Because I know early on the ledges are more shallow compared to later, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Early May, very, very late April, early May, you're going to find them in that 5 to 8 foot of water on those ledges. And that has a lot to do with the shad spawn, because those shad are spawning in that, you know, that 4 to 7 foot of water. If it's clear, if the water's kind of stained up, that could be a little shallower. And then they move out deeper as the year goes on. So by the 1st of June, they will already be all the way out. But for the month of May, you find them more in that 4 to 8 foot range on those ledges.
And what are you going to use to catch them?
I throw a Z-Boss crankbait a lot, a Z-Boss 6.
Which runs deep. Tell them about that.
Yeah, the Z-Boss 6 and 8, those run from 6 to 10 foot. That's more the May shad spawn. That Z-Boss 8 is really, really special. And then once you get into the later summer months, we have the Z-Boss 20, 22, 24, and 25. And the Z-Boss 20 runs 12 to 14, and the deepest, the Z-Boss 25, is 24 to 27. So, you know, we've kind of designed them to have every aspect of every situation. And the Z-Boss 24 is actually a great big body lure that only goes 12 to 14. So here on the Tennessee River, these fish feed on great big gizzard shad and threadfin shad, and that bigger body lure really works.
Yeah, and so how about jigs? Throwing any jigs on them?
Yeah, big heavy jigs. I like, I throw a 1 ounce most of the time because I'm usually looking, unless fish are really shallow, because we have so much current here too. The 1 ounce really just drags. You can just put resistance on your rod, and the resistance from that current hitting the line will just kind of pull that football jig along. So I like the heavier one, that 1 ounce Swampers football jig. We have a color called October Pumpkin. Uh-huh. That is a green pumpkin, and it has a little bit of an orange in the skirt, and it really works well here.
So I think it was like maybe in the early 2000s. I know I was fishing some tournaments, FLW tournaments. We come here, and this was always the place that's super hard to fish. You know, if you caught a limit that was good, you know, you're getting, you're going to get a check. You might win.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the grass happened.
Yes.
Tell us about that situation, because now, like, your string, what do you think the average stringer in the summer is?
Yeah, the average stringer in the summertime is always, if you're going to have over 20 to win, probably 24, 25. And in the spring, you're going to have closer to 30. And you hit it dead on, Brad. This place was good for smallmouth in the spring and fall, but when it got into the summer months, it didn't take much to win. Right. And then the hydrilla came along, as you said, in the mid part of the first decade of the 2000s, and now the bass have just exploded. The population is just as good as anywhere you'll go. It's as good as Guntersville, actually, with less fishing pressure. So it is. The hydrilla made a big difference, and there's this great big largemouth. And also what happened, the tournament anglers went to fishing for largemouth. So the smallmouth got left alone for several years, and now they are competitive, and you can win with smallmouth and largemouth. So it's a really cool scenario.
Tell us about fishing below the dam, because some of these people that can go there, they've seen the shows, and they've seen the people go up there, and they've seen the Kennedys and everyone up there chunking and throwing and winding and stuff. Tell us about fishing below that, because that's it's a phenomenal place to fish. But
you get up there, it's funny, you'll go up there in the spring, late March, early April, or even in the fall around Halloween is phenomenal as well. But you'll see, and there's like, man, there's too many boats. I'm not going to catch anything up here because it just looks so crowded. But everybody's catching them. Every time you turn around, somebody's got a big one on. There's the real popular area called the Horseshoe up there below the dam, and then all of the other little current breaks and eddies. But those smallmouth just, you know, a fish swims upstream. It really depends on current, whether it's a trout or a smallmouth bass. So they go upstream until they're just as far as they can go, you know. Right. And they just get stacked up there. It's really cool.
And there's some rocks up there people need to be aware of.
There is. If you're going up there for the first time, kind of pay attention to kind of maybe just sit back and watch where people run and take it slow. Just idle up there if you're not used to it, because that water can fluctuate 2 or 3 feet just by them cutting the water on and off. Uh-huh. So you really have to be careful with it.
And talk about the generation. So they generate it for electricity, is that
they
right?
They do. It's a hydroelectric dam. You know, the entire Tennessee River system was part of the New Deal. And I guess Roosevelt, hope I'm not right there. I think I'm right. But so all of these dams were built in the 30s, during that, 30s and 40s. And in Wilson Dam, the neat thing about Wilson Dam, if you look at the history of it, Henry Ford wanted to purchase it from TVA, and he was actually going to bring Ford Motor Company here to the Shoals,
right?
And it was this close to happening. It was really, if you go to Detroit and ride around, they have the same street names as what's in Muscle Shoals. It's McFarland Boulevard, and all of the streets are, because he came down here and did that. And there's actually a place just outside of town called Ford City where there's these concrete sidewalks in the middle of a rural area that he came in and built and was going to produce it. I know I got off on a little tangent here.
Oh, no,
little history deal. But a lot has happened here with the Tennessee River, and it's an unbelievable resource. If you look at some of the droughts that this country has had in the southeast, the Tennessee River never goes down. It stays high in the worst droughts. You can remember several years ago, Atlanta was struggling with Lanier and the water levels. And the Tennessee River is just an amazing resource.
Yeah, so fishing, if you had to pick, where would you pick on the TVA? Where would you pick the fish?
Ugh.
If you had to pick one, you know.
Oh, my phone's ringing.
You can go all the way down to
Just push that side button.
You can go all the way down to Kentucky Lake. Where would you go? Where would you fish? Which one?
Man,
you got to have a favorite.
I would probably say Pickwick just because of the diversity of it and how it is now. Now, if you had asked me 5 years ago, I would have probably said Kentucky Lake. And there's an ebb and flow. You know, Kentucky Lake's having a little bit of the carp issue, but that's
right.
Kentucky Lake's starting to come back now from what I hear a little bit. So they're starting to get that under control. But I would probably have to say Pickwick.
How about Asian carp on the lake here? I hadn't heard much about it.
Yeah, so. You know, they were there. You see them every now and then, but they did not explode the way they did on Kentucky Lake. So we were worried that it was going to become an issue here.
Right, but right up the chain.
Yeah, but we're far enough along now that it has not been. So everybody's got their fingers crossed, and I think we're going to be okay. And they're starting to get it under control at Kentucky Lake as well, too.
Right. So tell us about switching over to major league fishing, though you've been there a couple of years, right?
Yeah, so. I think this is all of us. This is our third year.
Third year.
I think that's right. And have fun with it. It's a lot of stress. You know, you know how you're doing and how everybody else doing. It's funny. You'll have a good run and you'll think, man, I'm going to get on up there. And then everybody else is catching them too. You know, so that part of it's pretty stressful. We love the feedback we get from the fans. Just a lot of fun with it. The numbers are phenomenal. So it's been awesome. We just have a good time with it.
So sure. What do you think? Which is harder, fishing in maybe like a Bassmaster Classic or fishing major league fishing?
Oh, man, they both have their challenges. You know, an event such as the Classic is a really big deal. But I'm just telling you, there's something about knowing the score and knowing where you're at that creates a different amount of pressure. Because, you know, when you're trying to make those cut weights before, 20th place was just 20th place. Now watch these guys on our day two cut, those guys that are 16th to 23rd. I mean, you can cut the tension with a knife, you know, with the guys that are wanting to move on and all of that. So it's a lot of fun and just, gosh almighty, this just the intensity and the stress of it makes it fun for the fans too.
Right. And so you get to see the feedback right away from everyone. What do you do on your days off?
At Major League Fishing, we do. We have those days off, and usually it's working on tackle. And sometimes the league has us, you know, doing some things that are, you know, at the last one, James Watson and I, we took out some veterans' kids and just some enjoyable things like that we do for the community while we're there. So,
who should we go with, you or James Watson? If I was to go on a trip, who? Watson or you?
It depends on where we're going. If you're on Table Rock or in the Ozarks, definitely Watson. Tennessee River, probably me. So, yeah, he's a mess now.
He's a character. He is. Is he not?
He is funny. We went to a lake. We took those two groups of kids. I had two, and he had one. But and it was neat. We was calling each other back. Hey, they're biting over here. You know, I've had a few bites doing this. So, we don't get to do that in a tournament. So on our off day, it was pretty cool to communicate how we were catching them. So
that's pretty amazing. So we'll come back to where we are here.
All right.
And so we'll visit a little bit about that. So I know you talked about the people that come and stuff like that. So for the anglers that like to hunt, what do you offer here?
Yes, our whitetail season in Alabama, and of course, even though we're in a preserve, we still go by the same laws that the state has. So our bow season opens October 15th. And then our rifle season, they haven't announced yet, but it's always November 22nd through the 25th, somewhere in there. So, you know, you can call 256-810-5946 or go to visitwillowoak.com to see everything that we have. And then we do quail and pheasant hunts really heavily in February and March. And then our fishing on our lake is you know, we encourage people to come in the spring and the fall. That's when they're the biggest and the fattest and the great for pictures and all that. But we have a lot of 7-8 pound smallmouth in our lake and a lot of, you know, 9-10 pound largemouth as well.
All right. So that takes us to tackle time, which is we always love our sponsors. And, of course, the big one is Pico Lures. And Pico Lures has all kinds of soft plastic, some hard baits, old school Pico Perch, which some of the guys like.
You're going to leave me a few of those now, ain't you, Murray?
Yeah. Somewhere in this property is a big tackle shop, and I should go take a picture.
Yeah, there you go. I tell you what else, too. I know you say Pico's big in the crappie world. We got one lake here that is just nothing but a panfish lake. That's a pretty cool deal, so, and I didn't mean to
Oh, no, that's right.
But we have nothing but crappie and bluegill in it, so a family can come in and set minnow traps and go do the
here,
whole deal.
Here
and,
on
and
their
do
property.
The fish fry and everything, yes.
Oh, really? Yeah, cool. We went by the bass pond.
The big lake, yeah.
Yeah, and so I know that you secretly hid some American fish trees in locations, and you're not telling anyone where you put them.
I've got a few that you can see, but I've got two or three stacked in certain little areas under the water. It's funny. I've got one. We had this old deep freeze. I know we're getting off on a tangent again. We put it in the lake before it flooded.
Right.
And I've got it, and about 20 yards over, I've got two or three American fish trees. And everybody always talks about leave a refrigerator door open and put it out, you'll catch fish. I catch three times the fish on those fish trees. It's just more shade. I guess I think they like how they can get in and around it and set up in it like they can, you know, brush piles. So.
And their stuff, their hooks and stuff don't get hung up on it.
Exactly.
So they're lures. So do you have some of those trees in your crappie lake too?
No, I don't. I probably need to send Matt a text, see if I can get a few for the
Matt's probably watching. Yeah. But anyway, Pico, they have a whole line of little soft plastic baits and things that you would use to catch crappie with too.
Awesome.
So they're real popular, and they have live scope jig heads, and they're made just for using the electronics and dropping them down in the bushes.
Ooh.
And those heads have an aspirin head. So pretty cool stuff. You can check their stuff out online at picolures.com. Also takes us to Smith Lures. And since we're out here kind of more in a hunting setting and something that would be more wilderness, this little canacho, I hope I got that right, is their little like pocket knife. So
perfect,
you can walk around and
got a thick
and it's
blade
a little
on
short.
It too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
have that part on there yet, but just something cool that you would stick in there. And if you're going to cut some twine or anything that you're doing around a ranch or a farm or a pond. So it's pretty cool. They have a hole. Don't cut yourself.
No,
I'm not responsible.
That fits in your pocket.
But Smith Products also has a full line of hook sharpeners and knife sharpeners. That's probably where most people have seen them, but they do have a line of pocket knives and things like that. So that's pretty cool to have them. You can check them out at smithproducts.com. So let's wrap it up. Tell them if they wanted to find out more about the place here, where would they go?
Yeah, visit willowoak.com, or they can text 256-810-5946. And book a hunting trip. We have 180. We had a 315-inch whitetail that got taken last year. So a lot of big animals. Get to see them in their environment fighting and all kind of stuff. It's pretty cool.
Bass pond, biggest one so far in there?
Biggest smallmouth was 714. A guy caught this spring, and the biggest largemouth was 9-something. So we're still waiting to break that 10-pounder. We hope to get it this fall.
I need to sneak out there before I leave. And then tell them about if they wanted to check you out fishing-wise, where would they TV show and Major League Fishing?
Yeah, check us out on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Timmy Horton Outdoors. So definitely go check it out. We usually have a fishing tip on there. We try to do something every day, and it's our goal to help people catch more fish for sure.
There you go. That sounds pretty good. Hey, you need to make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water. That's our tip for this week.
I like it.
All right. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for having me, man.